Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to another instant no-spoiler reaction. Quite often we get to see films before they hit the cinemas. Sometimes it can be a few months, sometimes it might only be a day beforehand. Either way, we're now recording our instant reactions, and together with a monthly roundup podcast to see if we still feel the same way weeks later. Because sometimes there are movies that can change your mind. Have a listen now to our latest instant reaction.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Batman. The new Batman. So, welcome one and all. We've just been watching, as in we, myself, and Alex Billington from firstshowing.net.
Yes, thank you.
We've just been watching the new Batman, and 3 hours.
Yeah.
Can you have too much Batman?
No. I don't think so. I always ask my this question because they keep making Batman movies. Like, kind of like Spider-Man, there's so many of them now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like Spider-Man too. I was going to say, but Batman, for as much as they keep making Batman, I always just love it. And I'm not even like a Batman nerd. Like, yeah. I'm not a comic book nerd.
Yeah.
But I love the character. And I don't know why, other than just he's the rich dude fighting for his city. And I think as a kid as well, like when I was younger, I also appreciated that he didn't have superpowers.
But he's this melancholic superhero. And there aren't too many melancholic superheroes knocking about.
Yeah, and of course we know his origin story plays into him being who he is. But I also, not that this is like something I personally relate to, but as a character, I just think he's cool that he's like, I don't care about anything except trying to save my city. Like, he has no friends. He just broods in his little basement. Like, there's something cool about that. I don't know. Like, it's all cool.
It's all cool. But for me, I felt that was like 2 hours of a great movie. The third hour, it kind of creaked a little bit.
It was a little bit,
Let's put it this way. If you're not a Nirvana fan going in, you'll certainly remember the music on the way out. I mean, that score became a bit labored, if I'm honest. I mean, I loved it. I loved the look. And I loved the way that he tonally managed to find a space between Chris Nolan and Zack Snyder. And he sort of found his space somewhere in between the two.
Yeah,
not as overly dour and operatic as Zack Snyder, and yet not quite as kinetic as Chris Nolan. This was very gothic. If anything, the whole vibe, you know, do they have a building in this movie which isn't a church or wasn't inspired by gothic architecture? I mean, it really had kind of like good shriekbacks to the first Batman movie with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
But the story, it's a detective story.
Yeah, it's the Long Halloween, literally. And I also, as Matt Reeves said since day one, is that this is his noir Batman. And that it's very much a noir-y film of like dark, like every scene is dark. Everything is following through. And I mean, I guess it's like when you hear him say that at the beginning of production, you're like, well, every Batman is noir. But this is, I think he fully embraced it in a way that I enjoyed completely. And I think story-wise, I mean, I don't want to say the ending, but there's only so much you can do with Batman because his story is always he's got to save Gotham. And there's the criminals of Gotham are always scheming. I mean, what else is he going to do?
I think you...
That's always the story.
I think I'm on the right side of spoilery stuff if I say that the film could have stopped when the laughter died down. The whole bit at the end in Glasgow, or what was Glasgow pertaining to be Gotham, yeah, you could have just lost that easy.
I don't know. I mean, I know it's kind of like the Dark Knight in that they need to not end it, but they need to end it.
I felt that, you know what I mean? Like ending this one. They were like when do we come off the conveyor belt or the merry-go-round?
Because it's also like they know they have to, not that they have to go on, but they know that Batman will live on and could do more stories.
James Batman will be back.
Right, but also you have to wrap up this, but similar to The Dark Knight, it's like, okay, there's a big moment with this particular villain. He's got to get through this guy and whatever he's scheming. And then, but that's like, that's not it with Batman, especially because this is, you know, quote unquote, early in Batman's career Gotham Protector, year two, how, you know, like, what, establishing himself as a, again, everything he said at the beginning of production, Matt Reeves, about establishing himself as he's making mistakes, he's trying to figure out what his real role is in Gotham and how far to go. And he literally says it like 5 times in the film, there's the line you don't want to cross. And he's trying to find out what that line is and whether or not he can cross it and whether or not it's effective if he crosses it and what his, you know, how that plays into his ultimate goal, which is to defend and help Gotham, and whether he can do that.
But that's the thing, and it's also interesting that you mentioned The Dark Knight, because for me, in similar or in parallel to that movie, and I don't want to compare performances, but Paul Dano as the Riddler really pulled me through this movie way that Heath Ledger did.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think I would go so far as to say he's on the same level, he's damn close. In terms of what you're saying, in terms of like, oh shit, I was into him, and I was like, I love the Riddler just because of his riddles, but not because he's like the Joker level of genius.
Yeah.
But because he's, you know, like you said, he's pulling you along, he's keeping you guessing, literally, and also, I think the most interesting thing is like, where is he leading with his... like, what is his goal for Gotham?
No, it's all right. They're just taking the Riddler back now to Arkham in the background. But no, I mean, I love the tone of the Riddler as well. I thought it was fantastic because, my age here. I remember when the Riddler in the TV show was this campy like comedian thing. And there's none of this. This is kind of the Riddler as a Unabomber.
Yeah, and I dig it. I really dig it. And I almost don't want to say this, but I guess I should. Is it? I was worried that there would be quote unquote too many villains.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we have Oswald, we have Falcone, we have Riddler, and you know there could be others.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they kept the focus on Riddler, but that doesn't mean that there isn't. The criminal underworld is a major part of it, and that all of them are involved in it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, Riddler is the one. Because I think that's, to me, what works so well about The Dark Knight as well, is that, like, there are everyone, you know, there's lots of people involved in it, but Joker is the key core of that one.
Yes, indeed.
And he's playing off of Batman, which is, I think in this one, plays off of it in a really good way because it makes Batman, again, question his role in Gotham and what he's doing by seeing... what's happening here. Like, there were a few moments that I thought really cool in the first half where it was almost like Batman didn't really care or feel bad about what Riddler was doing.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I mean, he was like confused and was like, what is he doing? But then he's kind of like, well, he's taking out the trash in a way where I was like, okay, like so far so good.
So, I mean, just so, because we really haven't touched on any plot details, but basically there is this guy who is exposing corruption in a very very vigilante manner, very much akin to Batman. They're walking a similar path but in different directions,
right,
and it kind of creates a lot of conflict within Batman. I think that's a safe way I could describe it without going too spoilery,
right? And the rest of people will see,
and the other colors kind of like come in around the edges. I mean, Colin Farrell as the Penguin completely disappeared into a sort of Bob De Niro-esque, but not in a parody, not in a kind of, oh, you're just riffing on that. Yeah. I mean, he was great. He was fantastic.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see more of him. because it's like, he's in it, but I'm like, I want more. Like, I want more of him, you know?
But the other thing was that, again, paralleling with The Dark Knight, Andy Serkis gets the best kind of expositional lines in the movie, similar to what Michael Caine did
of course.
Chris Nolan. And again, just like you were saying, Andy Serkis, I want to see more, because he was really... He wasn't kind of wagging the finger, as kind of quite often Alfred is sort of positioned. He was there, he did what he needed to do, but he wasn't kind of like omnipresent.
Yeah.
And also, like, the whole kind of the way they dealt with the Batcave, the lair, the geography of the film, really nicely self-contained. And, okay, we got to talk about the music, and the music inspired by Nirvana to the point where...
No, Giacchino is kind of, he's one of those composers who, like Matt Reeves, never misses. Like, he's almost always great, and it's whether he achieves true excellence or just regular greatness when he makes a score.
I mean,
I love the music in this.
Maybe I'm making fun of this, and I apologize, but I love the score. I really did like it, but after 3 hours, after the same kind of piano strikes, I was like, okay. And I did sit through the credits, and I thought there would be a respite. Taylor Swift comes on or something, but oh no, no, no.
But there literally is a Nirvana song early on in it.
Oh yeah, sure, and it's at the end as well. And if there was any doubt, it's regularly interspersed throughout. But I kind of felt, you know, he's been listening to John Williams' score for Jaws a lot.
I don't mind it. I appreciate it. I don't know. I really think the score works well. I think all of it works incredibly well. It's exactly what I love to see in a movie, which is like every piece of it, like the vision of the filmmaker in terms of a Hollywood blockbuster scale is in harmony with every part of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Like every, from the set to the costumes, to the whole story, to the theme and vibe, to the music, to everything, is all purely exactly what Reeves wants it to be in the context of this particular movie, and it works in a way that you're just like, yeah. Like it's I know this is a cliched thing for me to say, and I've probably said it 100 times over my career, but it's the kind of movie that as soon as I come out, I'm like, I want to go see it again right now. Like, I would pay a ticket go watch it. Mostly for the details on the second time.
Yes.
It's like, pick up on... I was also a little bit, like, trying to understand the Gotham City hierarchy a little bit better. And I was like, okay, I get it, but I'm, you know, I want to put the pieces together a bit more this time, second time. And
so let's talk about the masked elephant in the room. Mr. Pattinson. What do you think of him as a Batman?
I don't mind. No, but I wasn't... I guess I've never... Other than Christian Bale, which I love Christian Bale not because of his eventual Batman performance, but because of Batman Begins, which was like...
Yeah.
You see a lot of Bale in it before he becomes the Masked Man.
True.
Whereas once he gets into the mask, I'm kind of like, he's just in a mask. Like, the Val Kilmer documentary last year, he was talking about playing Batman. He's basically like... He literally said that, like, he's like, once you get the suit on, you kind of just forget what you're doing and you just be Batman. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way I feel about Pattinson. Like, I'm not against him anyway. I'm not one of these Twilight haters who's like, Pattinson sucks. I think he's an extremely talented actor anyway.
I do. I'm in the fan club.
Yeah, and I have no complaints, but I'm also not going to go around like raving about how he's this masterpiece. I just think he works fine in this. I don't know.
I think...
Wait, what? Did you love him or something? What's going on?
No, I said I'm in his fan club. I'm in the fan club of Robin Pattinson is a very fine actor as opposed to the Twilight bashers. But what I was going to say was, it's interesting that in terms of physicality, you know, the things that people normally center on is like, how was the cape? Well, the cape action is good. But the thing that I thought was really interesting, and I hadn't really seen before, but I have seen in the comics, is the kind of toothy snarl that is in this movie, which I haven't seen in previous movies, particularly when he's angry and trying to get from point A to point B and he's running out of time and he's like grimacing through the cowl. I thought, okay, yeah, this is cool. This is good.
Yeah, this is kind of like,
you know, there's a bit where he leans down into shot to look at a bad guy he's just chased through a wall of fire. And I really thought, are we going to get that Daredevil drop of blood coming out the side of your mouth kind of thing? Because it would have been, it would have been right. I wouldn't have objected to that at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And as this Bruce Wayne, as this kind of reclusive Howard Hughes kind of figure, yeah, I think that was one of the things that was nice about the films. It didn't apologize for the way the world is when you arrive in the story. It wasn't going to sort of start making excuses or felt that it had to do some kind of little prequel to the movie to kind of establish and say, hey, everybody, this is how he became Batman and blah, blah, blah.
Well, which is the right way to do it now. Yeah. After so many Batman movies, you don't need to rehash that anymore.
No.
Like, you know who he is. I've always felt that way. It's the same with Spider-Man. Like, you know exactly who he is. Just get into the movie and give us the story and we get it. It's not a complaint, but my only thing is that we don't really get enough of Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I know we don't need him in this one, but I like the balance in Nolan's trilogy about how much Bruce there is and how much you understand Wayne and him versus him as Batman.
Sure.
And in this one, it's like 75% Batman and not really much of Wayne at all. It's the same with Alfred. It's like, he's there, but he's not there enough to make me feel, and it's fine. It's just like, maybe I'm just, to answer your original question, I'm just hungry for more. Like, give me 3 more hours of
Well, it's very clearly alluded to at the very end of the credits that there is a very, very fast, very quick, cryptic little message and a millisecond flash of a web address, which obviously going to be captured by people on their phones and deciphered on YouTube and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Let's check it after we record.
I mean, how did you feel about... How can I do this without being too spoilery? The shock introductions and the twist, because there is a twist, and I thought the twist was reasonably decent. I didn't necessarily see it coming.
Yeah, I can't really talk about it because it's too spoilery. Like, I like it. I just...
Did you enjoy it? Did you felt like, oh yeah, that's a decent twist. That works.
I would love to talk about, when we can talk about spoilers, the bigger context of...
Sometimes twists have like an army of red flags running ahead of it, and this one didn't feel like...
No, but I mean, it's not as mind-blowing as the Dark Knight twist, where you're like, oh, he died and then he didn't die. This is more like, oh, damn, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing, because like, we're watching it now, this morning, at the early, early hour of 9 a.m. It's a three-hour movie, and the embargo drops at 6 o'clock tonight, and usually that is the signature for this is an awful film, because generally speaking, if we get to see a film on the same day or the day before it's released, that's generally saying we don't have much confidence in this. But I think this was done to prevent any spoilers.
Yes, and I also think it was done to control the conversation until the week of release, which is based on world events is a smart move of Warner. Not that they could have predicted, but that, like, rather than let it drown out weeks early, it's like you want everyone to talk about it now so that everyone gets hyped for Batman now. I mean, I had a funny story a couple of weeks ago when we were at the cinema seeing a movie here in Berlin. Like, someone came in and they saw the poster for Batman, and their response was, "Another Batman already?" And it was one of these, I think that's what a lot of people happen, like, they don't even realize it's out in a week.
Yeah.
And I think the last bit of their marketing strategy is like, we need to start a, this is so cliche, but it works, start the fire of the buzz, you know, let the fire rise of the Batman buzz. Because it's like, okay, I like it because normally I would let the buzz go early, but now I'm like, okay, great, we can all talk about it this week.
Yeah. True.
And I'm seriously worried people hate it. I'm really worried, but I'm glad you didn't, because this is a relief.
I deliberately avoided the trailers. After I saw the first couple, I was like, all right, I'm not watching any more of this, because I don't want it to be diluted. And obviously, there is the precedence of Chris Nolan and everybody else. Uh-huh. And I felt, please have your own voice, have your own tone, and it definitely has that.
Yeah.
And I was engaged. I would say, for certainly throughout I was engaged, though I have to confess a little bit of snipping in the third act would have not gone amiss.
That's just, maybe.
Just because from a pacing point of view, because I really like the first couple of hours, because it's really kind of like, here's a clue, go chase. Here's another clue, go chase. And that was really sort of drawing me along. And then we kind of get to the third act, and there are consequences and twists and changes and stuff. And again, for me, I know I'm possibly straying into heresy now, but Dark Knight Returns kind of suffers from the same thing in the third act, where it does kind of slightly get bogged down by paying its debts
for
what it's set up. And the chase to get there was so much more kind of engaging.
Yeah, and I wonder if this is... the same kind of thing where it's like they had built so much of the first and second acts nicely that they kept tinkering with the third act, and they kind of, like, you know, there's always this, especially with Hollywood now, there's always this desire to, like, go big and make it a grand ending. Mm-hmm. And I think the brilliance of Matt Reeves' final Apes movie is that he doesn't really ever go big in it.
No,
and he keeps it this intimate, emotional, like, almost masterpiece of a film, where you're like, oh, they should have had a grand war, but they don't need it for that one.
No, he's going for pathos that time. He's not trying to,
And while I would say the first two acts of this one are that, and then I wonder if Warner Brothers is like, bring the bigness! Because it's Batman. Like, and I think that...
Matt Reeves, can we please have more toy sales
but
for
I
Christmas?
Don't, well, I think it is, like you said, there could be some tightening up that would make it better. But overall, I think Reeves nailed it, and I think he's...
Oh, yeah, without question.
He's... I love him. I think he's never not made a banger. Like, he's... I even love Let Me In, his remake. I think it's great. He's a true visionary filmmaker. And God, I just love his visual style, I think, more than anything.
So how long have we got to wait before we can watch this again?
Well, it's out in a couple of days. If we had an IMAX here, where I would go see it again, but we don't.
That, again, we've watched this at Zoo Palace, and I do feel very spoiled because the sound system really made the most of it. So there you go. I think that's two thumbs up from us both. So definitely go and see this film. It was great.
So if you like that instant reaction, please consider signing up for more. By subscribing to our podcast, you'll be alerted every time a new instant reaction drops and when we're able to share it with you. Also, because sometimes a film can really start to grow on you, we'll be hosting an extra roundtable podcast to see if these initial feelings still hold true. So until then, please keep safe, and we look forward to seeing you on the next instant no-spoiler reaction. All the best. Bye.